It was late September of my freshman year of high school. My ninth grade civics teacher stomps into the classroom and thumps our stack of graded papers on his desk. This was not good. "Okay, folks," he said, "clearly I need to teach you how to write." My teacher walks up to the class chalkboard, and across the entire board, he writes four gigantic letters. B-L-U-F. Bluff means bottom line up front. In your very first paragraph, you need to tell me what you're going to tell me in the rest of your paper. Put your bottom line up front. Graciously, the entire class was given permission to rewrite our papers. But for the rest of the year, we lived in terror that our papers would come back with the dreaded bluff scrawled in red ink across the opening paragraph. Unlike a bunch of hapless ninth graders, however, Luke the Evangelist actually knows how to write. Luke the Evangelist knows that the bottom line goes up front. This morning's gospel reading is the story of Jesus reading from the scroll of Isaiah in his hometown synagogue of Nazareth. This story is recounted in the middle of both Mark and Matthew, but it's Luke who takes the story and puts the story front and center. By making the scripture reading Jesus' first act of public ministry, Luke tells us that the content of the reading from Isaiah is what will define Jesus' ministry and shape salvation history. Jesus is telling us what Jesus is going to tell us. In other words, this reading is Jesus' thesis statement. So what exactly is Jesus' bottom line? Let's look at the reading again. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So, Jesus proclaims good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and the declaration of the year of God's Jubilee, which is the year that debts are forgiven, slaves are set free, and land is returned to rightful families, so everyone can live in peace and prosperity." The word that keeps coming up in this passage over and over again is release. Release to captives, release to the oppressed. But what's more, throughout the gospel, Luke keeps using the word release to describe the whole ministry of Jesus. Release is the word that Luke uses to talk about the forgiveness of sins. Release is the word that Luke uses to talk about the forgiveness of debt. Release is the word that Luke uses to talk about expelling demons and healing the sick. When we put all of these nuances together, release from sin and captivity and blindness and oppression and sickness and evil, the word we're actually looking for is liberation. Jesus is here to set us free, and that is the bottom line. There's not a thing that Jesus does, not a parable that Jesus tells, not an act of healing or forgiveness or anything else in all of Luke's gospel that isn't about Jesus setting us free or Jesus asking us to live as free people. Jesus is about the business of freeing us and all creation from what enslaves us. Jesus tells us this good news of freedom at the beginning of his ministry, and Jesus sets us free from death by the end of his ministry. This is unquestionably good news. But here, the question shifts. The question is no longer, what is Jesus here to do? We know that. Jesus is in the business of liberation from beginning to end. The question now becomes, are we brave enough to accept our own liberation? The doors of our dungeons have been sprung open wide. Can we take the first shaky steps toward freedom and come out into the blinding light of day? I can't tell you what your own liberation looks like, because each of our own dungeons is unique to us, formed by childhood, formed by habit, or choice, or circumstance, or even our own personalities. Our dungeons are bespoke to us. They are our very own. And to make matters more complicated, some dungeons are obviously dungeons. Addiction, for instance, is an obvious dungeon. So is emotional and physical abuse by a domestic partner or out-of-control spending. But other dungeons are more subtle. Perniciously, they may not even look like dungeons at all. The dungeon of chasing success after everything else, above everything else, for instance, looks great until the human damage is counted. Or the dungeon of perfectionism, which masquerades as excellence, but is always a trap. Or the dungeon of following the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law, a life of the technically true, but heartless. Ironically, it can be very easy to spot your neighbor's dungeon while being blithely ignorant of your own. That's the very nature of dungeons, which is why they are so very hard to escape. And worst of all, we may even come to like and trust our imprisonment, because the devil we know is less scary than the paralyzing possibility of actual freedom. But Jesus is there and has been there from the very beginning, holding the door open for us, patiently waiting for us to shake off our chains and simply walk out that door. Jesus longs for us to come out of the darkness of oppression into the light of freedom, to stop eating a diet of bread crusts and water and come to the feast of God's own bounty, to no longer shuffle in shame but walk with our heads held high as a people made free, secure in the love of God. Jesus longs for us to walk out of our dungeons into Jesus' loving embrace. Now, the world we walk into, our beautiful and broken world, will still be the world. There will be troubles. But the difference is that we're walking in the world in the freedom of Jesus. As free people of God, we get to choose how we act and how we love and how we move through the world. We can choose compassion over selfishness, goodness over evil, because we've been empowered to do so. We can work together with God to remake the world into the kingdom of God, a world of freedom for all people. When we let Jesus guide us into perfect freedom, we can trust that there's nothing we can't face with the wideness of God's love. Jesus stands up to read, unrolls the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and reads freedom into salvation history and freedom into our very own lives. And then Jesus says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Jesus has already broken down the doors and released us from what enslaves us. Right now, freedom is here, today. And that, my friends, is Jesus' bottom line. Amen.